Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. When you hear the word reckoning, I wonder what images come to your mind. Perhaps a mother with a wooden spoon and her little boy draped over her knee. Or maybe a courtroom with a judge declaring guilty as charged and the gavel coming down with a vengeance. For the past 3 days, we've been considering God's warnings through his prophet Jeremiah to the Jewish people of Jerusalem who were embracing wickedness and turning away from God in the years following King Josiah's death. Josiah was the final God-honoring king in Jerusalem. Josiah was followed on the throne by not one but two of his sons, both of whom were wicked men, and they turned Jerusalem into an idol-worshipping, decadent city. Jeremiah 25 contains another powerful message from God through Jeremiah to his people in Jerusalem, and it was followed by God's action. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. Therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants. Jeremiah 25:1-11. Did you notice God called King Nebuchadnezzar his servant? Does that trouble you? Nebuchadnezzar was a violent, wicked man who had no interest in the God of Israel. But God used Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army to bring the discipline he had warned the people of Judah and Jerusalem about for so many years through Jeremiah and others of his prophets. The year was 605 B.C. Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian army had been fighting in Carchemish, way up north in modern-day Turkey, about 500 miles north of Jerusalem. There, Nebuchadnezzar defeated both the remaining remnants of the Assyrian Empire and Pharaoh Necho of Egypt. On his return to Babylon, victorious Nebuchadnezzar marched his armies through the cities and towns, covering almost 1,000 miles, declaring the entire region to be under Babylonian authority. Jerusalem, as the capital of Judah, was one of those key cities. Nebuchadnezzar paused long enough in Jerusalem to declare his dominion over the Jewish people by doing three things. First, demanding allegiance from Josiah's son, King Jehoiakim, and exacting a significant annual tribute payment in silver and gold. Second, amazed by the beauty of the temple of God in Jerusalem, King Nebuchadnezzar ransacked it, taking for himself many of the golden artifacts of worship, perhaps the altar of incense, the table of showbread, and maybe the golden lampstands. Third, as was his custom, King Nebuchadnezzar took as prisoners of war all of the princes of the royal family and others of nobility in Jerusalem and dragged them off to Babylon. Among them was a young Jewish teenager named Daniel. Daniel records this historic event in this way. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylon. Daniel chapter 1. While Nebuchadnezzar allowed Jewish King Jehoiakim, son of King Josiah, to remain in his palace in Jerusalem, Jerusalem was no longer a free city, and Jehoiakim's local authority would only be as Nebuchadnezzar permitted. By taking as captive the royal princes and nobility, Nebuchadnezzar was assuring that young Jewish generations would have no leadership or hope of a future apart from submission to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was a strategist. As he conquered nations, he made sure he brought some of their young leadership to Babylon for training in submission to his authority. If they proved trustworthy, they would be placed in leadership over their countrymen who were enslaved in Babylon. If they proved rebellious, they were killed without mercy. Such was the environment into which young Jewish Daniel was taken as captive in the great city of Babylon. For the next few days, we'll follow the story of Daniel to see what he was experiencing and what God was doing as he disciplined his rebellious people in Jerusalem. Upon arrival in Babylon, Daniel was herded together with some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. Daniel chapter 1. Quickly, Daniel learned his fate. He was enrolled in a 3-year intensive Babylonian leadership training program. He would be taught the language, history, culture, literature, and religion of the Babylonians. The faster he learned, the more quickly life could become relatively comfortable as a leader of captives. If, however, Daniel rebelled, it would mean either hard labor as a slave or death. For Daniel and his fellow Jewish captives, in an effort to remove them from any allegiance to their Jewish God, or any connection with their family ancestry, or any hopes of ever returning to Jerusalem, they were given new Babylonian names and most likely castrated to become eunuchs. Now, don't rush past that statement, my friends. Sit here a few seconds and put yourself in Daniel's clothes. He was born and raised in Jerusalem during the glory years of King Josiah. While Daniel had seen the wickedness of his Jewish countrymen, he was a young man passionate for the honor and glory of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and likely Daniel looked forward to the day that he would have some leadership role in Jerusalem, determined to lead Jerusalem back to being a God-honoring, glorious city as in the days of King Josiah, or Hezekiah, or Jehoshaphat, or maybe even Solomon or David. In his record, Daniel introduces us to 3 Jewish young friends from Jerusalem who are fellow captives. The change of all their names was strategic and significant. To Daniel, which meant God is my judge, was given the name Belteshazzar, meaning Bel, protect his life. Bel was another name for Marduk, the chief Babylonian idol god. To Hananiah, which meant the Lord shows grace, was given the name Shadrach, meaning allegiance to Aku. Aku was the Babylonian moon god. To Mishael, which meant who is like God, was given the name Meshach, which probably meant who is like Aku. And to Azariah, which meant the Lord helps, was given the name Abednego, which meant servant of Nebu. Nebu was the Babylonian god of learning and wisdom. My Walking with Jesus friends, let's pause right here and put ourselves in this horrible, painful situation of these 4 young Jewish men. Do these words describe their situation? Hopeless, despair, bondage, fear, worry. And what have you done in your lifetime when you found yourself in such situations?